You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.
The liberal globalist order is at its brink and awakening a new conservative age. I'm Dr. Steve Turley. Join me every day as we discover answers to today's toughest challenges and explore the revitalization of conservative civilization. This is Turley Talks.
Here we go, gang. It's happening. The second highest ranking Democrat in the Senate, Dick Durbin, has just announced he's seen enough and he's done. The 80-year-old senator from Illinois will not be seeking re-election in 2026. This is huge. I'm going to show you exactly what's going on behind the scenes and why Durbin's retirement is just the beginning of the rats fleeing the sinking ship of the imploding Democrat Party. Hey, gang, it's me, Dr. Steve, your patriot professor, here to celebrate with you the dawning of a new American golden age that you made possible back on November the 5th. So if you want a front row seat on everything happening with the rise of a new conservative age all over the world, make sure to smack that bell and subscribe button. Before we dive in here, gang, I want to share with you one of my favorite news resources that I use every day, and that's Ground News. Now, these days, it's harder than ever to tell the difference between facts and opinions. Algorithms push us into echo chambers, and both sides of the political spectrum have their blind spots. A lot of the time, we're only getting part of the story or missing it entirely. So that's why I use Ground News. They're amazing. Ground News pulls together stories from, get this, over 50,000 news sources from around the world. But what makes it stand out is this. It doesn't just give you the headlines. It gives you the political bias behind each story. So you're not just reading the news, you're actually understanding it. That's why more than 1 million people have downloaded the Ground News app. See for yourself at ground.news/Steve. One of my favorite features is the blind spot feed. It shows you stories that are getting a lot of coverage from one side of the political spectrum, but barely any from the other. It's a great way to spot the narratives that usually slip through the cracks. So, for example, here's a recent story that has absolutely no coverage on the left. Some top tech leaders are openly supporting Trump, and it's causing major political tension in Silicon Valley. Now, this has big implications for tech, for politics, for free speech. But if you only follow left-leaning outlets, you might never know it's happening. Now, here's one that the right is mostly ignoring. Bill Maher called Trump gracious and measured after a recent White House visit. So that kind of nuance doesn't fit the usual narrative, which is probably why it's flying under the radar. With every story, Ground News shows you exactly who's covering it, where those outlets fall politically, how reliable the reporting has been, and even who owns them. It's transparency you're just not getting anywhere else. Right now, you can get 40% off the Vantage plan. That's the premium version that I use myself. Just head on over to ground.news/Steve, click the link in the description, or scan the QR code. That's ground.news/Steve. So Dick Durbin is done after 44 freaking years in Congress, 44 years of deliberately undermining and destroying our nation. Durbin is done. Simply put, he's reading the writing on the wall. First and foremost, his retirement is an admission that the Democrats are not taking back the Senate anytime soon. This is an inconvenient truth that the legacy media has been avoiding at all costs. Right now, Republicans are poised to hold all 53 seats in the Senate that they already have and even pick up two or three. We're expected to easily pick up Georgia with Brian Kemp running. We could see a possible pickup in Michigan, which went red in November, New Hampshire as well. In fact, the electoral map for the foreseeable future is a disaster for the Democrats. Not only do red states outnumber blue states, which all but locks out the Democrats from power in the Senate for at least the next 10 years, but the 2030 electoral reapportionment has Republicans gaining well over a dozen seats in Congress, all the while Democrats lose a proportionate number of seats. So Durbin clearly sees the writing on the wall here. He is not going to be in the majority party probably for the rest of his life. So he's out. However, that said, this goes way beyond electoral politics. Durbin is also seeing yet another civil war erupting inside the Democrat Party, and there are no signs that it's going to be able to be contained and avoid escalation. Again, we're already seeing it. Now that the number two Democrat in the Senate, Dick Durbin, has just resigned, now more and more the progressive wing of the Democrat Party, the ultra-woke left, now their knives are coming out for the Democrats' number one ranking member, and that's, of course, up Chuck Schumer. Polls show that woke New Yorkers want AOC to replace him. They want retribution for him caving to Trump on the continuing resolution bill a few weeks back. And so now the Democrats are actually poised to get rid of their top two Senate Democrats. And again, what we've got to understand here is that this is all part of the larger unraveling of the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party is basically being split apart when all said and done, not by one, not by two, but by three civil wars. Larry Schweikert has been pointing this out for months now. It's very interesting. There are, as we speak, basically three civil wars happening inside, simultaneously happening inside the Democrat Party. So the first one had to do, as you know, with the fallout from the Israeli-Hamas conflict, which split the Democrats between two rival factions. So you have the pro-Palestinian progressives on the one side versus the pro-Israeli liberals on the other. One of the most explicit examples of that civil war we saw actually on MSNBC when none other than the president of the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, Jonathan Greenblatt, who many consider to be the king of woke cancel culture, nevertheless, this ultra liberal nevertheless got on MSNBC shortly after the whole Israeli-Hamas war broke out, and he accused his fellow leftists at MSNBC of having Hamas write their scripts for them. He accused MSNBC anchors of having Hamas write their scripts for their evening news coverage. It was incredible, but it was just the tip of the iceberg of the leftist after leftist accusing each other of either siding with Hamas terrorists or being Zionist occupiers. And that civil war most likely cost Kamala Michigan, because the Muslim mayors of Hamtramck and Dearborn, all Democrats, came out and endorsed Trump as part of their retaliation against this Democrat civil war. So that's the first civil war. But the second civil war involved a massive conflict, a rift that broke out between pro-illegal migrant big city mayors on the one hand and their constituents on the other, like what we saw in Chicago with Democrat constituents freaking out at their ultra-woke mayor Brandon Johnson because they're finding themselves increasingly alienated from public services that are being diverted to these illegal migrants that Johnson is coddling. So we're seeing this increasing alienation, this divide between big city Democrat mayors and their constituents on the issue of illegal immigration. Eric Adams figured this out real quick. He first started off on one side of that divide, but then ended up on the other, fully against illegal immigration. I'm chuckling because, you know, an indictment seemed to help with shoving him in the right direction. 80% of the country is on the side of Trump with this. 80% of the country sides with secure borders and mass deportations of illegal migrants, especially those who've committed crimes. But now we're seeing the rise, if you can believe it, of a third civil war inside the Democrat Party. And that's a civil war surrounding the divisive nature of wokeness. Now, again, if you've been a part of this channel for a while, you know where I'm coming with this. I'll tease it out for you. But this is broken out particularly of late between the new vice chair of the Democrat Party, the utterly insufferable David Hogg on the one side, and veteran Democrat strategist James Carville.
Louisiana James Carville.
On the other, right? So old serpent head, as Rush Limbaugh used to call him. So they're both currently engaged in a very public, highly contentious feud within the Democrat Party. Now, you may have been following this, but the dispute centers on Hogg's plan as the DNC's vice chair to raise and spend $20 million to support primary challengers against incumbent Democrat lawmakers, particularly older ones. He's going after the geriatric Democrats, older, ineffective members in favor of younger, more woke progressives, right? Again, Hogg is one who has absolutely committed himself to the 80-20 doom loop. He is committed to dying on hills that only have the support of the most radical leftist constituents in the country. I mean, even Bill Maher is saying that as long as lunatics like this are running the party, they will never win another national election. Democrats, that is. He's absolutely right. Carville, on the other hand, being one of the older, more traditional Democrats, he's coming out and saying, obviously, this is political suicide. The DNC is supposed to hold the party together. It's supposed to support elected DNC officials and support and promote those who are running for office. And so he's calling Hogg's plan, quote, the most insane thing I ever heard. And he's publicly questioned why a DNC official would use party resources to run against fellow Democrats instead of focusing on defeating Republicans. And then Carville even went so far as to suggest that he personally might sue Hogg, referring to him as a, quote, contemptible little twerp, and raising concerns about Hogg's fiduciary duty to the party. Hogg, for his part, has fired back, accusing Carville of representing an out-of-touch, outdated, yes, why don't we just say it, old geriatric wing of the party, and arguing that seniority politics is killing the future of our party, and even went on to dismiss Carville's criticism by pointing out that Carville hasn't won an election since before Hogg was born, which is true, and insisted that new leadership is needed to revitalize the party, blah, 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 blah. Now, what's so key here is that these are precisely the civil war dynamics that are threatening to oust up Chuck Schumer in the next election. It's a threat to replace the old establishment Democrats with these new woke leftists. Now, if you've been a part of this channel for some time, and if not, make sure to smack that bell and subscribe button. But if you've been with us for some time, you'll know that we have long been predicting this kind of civil war breaking out, this particular one that's happening between Hogg, maybe we should call it the Hogg wing and the Carville wing. The ironic reality surrounding wokeness is that woke issues remain actually highly controversial among Democrats. You kind of have to get that to understand what's happening here. Wokeness and woke issues in particular, obviously 100% of Republicans want nothing to do with it. But even within the Democrat Party, and most independents want nothing to do with it, but even within the Democrat Party, wokeness is not particularly popular. So you take any woke issue you want out there, biological men using women's locker rooms, right? Trans athletes competing in female sports, CRT in the classroom, no matter the woke issue, whenever the issue is polled, you will find a consistent pattern. About 50% of the left supports the woke issue, the David Hogg wing, but 50% of the left absolutely opposes it. The James Carville wing, the Bill Maher wing, right? So wokeness was always destined to split the party apart. Always. It was just a matter of time before woke progressives took enough institutional power in the Democrat Party, which they just did with David Hogg as DNC vice chair, a completely inexperienced 20-something who's careening the party into civil war, right? And all they had to do is just get that kind of power, and then inevitably they would clash with the more traditional establishment Democrat. And so now this is escalating into open calls by Democrat, that very traditional Democrat leadership, to have Hogg ousted from his position as DNC vice chair. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. Notice is reporting that Democrat leadership is calling on Hogg to either abandon his plan to spend millions, primary Democrats, or they are threatening to do everything they possibly can to oust him, to basically overthrow him. This is what inter-party civil wars look like. This is what happens when woke progressives and more traditional liberals who've been in party leadership for literally decades clash. And I have a feeling that these clashes are just beginning. And keep in mind, they're just one of three overall clashes that are happening within the party as we speak. That's why Durbin may be one of the first high-ranking Democrats to leave. But I think we can all be sure he will not be the last. Hey there, Turley Talker. You know what? I'd love to hear from you. That's why I'm launching the Dr. Steve Hotline, where you can call in, leave a question, and maybe even hear your own voice featured on an upcoming episode of the show. Whether it's about the latest political shakeup or cultural trends or how we keep pushing forward in this new conservative age, I want to know what's on your mind. Call me at 717-844-5984. Just leave your question. I'll be checking in every single week to answer as many as I can. Again, that's 717-844-5984. Your chance to be a part of the conversation. One more time, 717-844-5984. Give me a call and let's talk.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Turley Talks podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, leave us a 5-star review, and share this episode with your friends. Help us defeat the fake news media and rank as the number one news and commentary podcast all over the world. Come back again tomorrow for another episode celebrating the rise of a new conservative age.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.